Now, friends, we have come here to another division in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Now, there were, as we said at the beginning, three major divisions. In the first 35 chapters, it was judgment, and that was divided up, as we saw, in many ways. Then there was the historic interlude, chapters 36 and 39. And then the great subject of salvation, or the revelation of the Savior in the place of suffering, chapters 40 through 66. Now, the first thing that we saw was the salvation of Jehovah, and that was in the 40 to 48. Now, we have labeled it, because we believe it's very accurate to label it, the comfort of Jehovah, and it comes through the servant, the Lord Jesus. Now, that's been in chapters 40 through 48 that we've looked at, and we've seen here that great polemic against idolatry that was prevalent in that day. Now, beginning here with chapter 49 and going through 57, we have the salvation of Jehovah, which comes through the suffering servant. And then finally, when we get to chapter 58 through 66, we'll see the glory of Jehovah, which comes through the suffering servant. Now, each one of these last three divisions can be marked off at the place where God says, as he did in chapter 48 at verse 22, "There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." Now, that is something that I think is patently evident today. Man's history is a history of warfare and constant conflict going on. And you will find that this is true today, not only among nations. It's true among cities. They call it, of course, their competition. You find it in the business world. You find it in the social world. And you find it today in the religious world. There is this conflict that is going on. And I think that you'll find it in practically every neighborhood, in every town and hamlet of our country and of every country. And you'll find it in many homes, this conflict. "No peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Now, if you can make peace in the human heart apart from God as a wicked man, then you will contradict the word of God. So far, no one has been able to do it. Now, that makes this essentially an important section. Now, as we begin chapter 49 here, it's the salvation of Jehovah. And we are now beginning to move toward the definite revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the suffering servant of God. We have been moving from actually the very beginning, but we saw him as the servant who brings comfort to God's people. And it's rather a silhouette. It's in the background. And we don't see too much of it. The closer we get to chapter 53, where we have that wonderful revelation of the cross of Christ, then more and more will he become clear to us. Now, at first, Israel was the servant of Jehovah. But Israel failed. Now God is going to begin to speak to us of another servant, and that servant is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find in the prophetic scriptures that they spoke primarily of Israel, and yet the final meaning was found in the person of Christ. Now I think a classic illustration of that is in Hosea 11:1, where it's recorded, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Now in Matthew 2:15, that's fulfilled in Christ. The nation failed, and now the one that came out of the nation is the one that succeeded. Now we have here in the first seven verses of this chapter the discourse of Christ to the world. And I want you to listen to this, because as you listen, you are listening in on a discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ as truly as the 12 apostles listened to him in Galilee. In this chapter, we see Christ moving out to become the Savior of the world. And in that movement, Israel is not forsaken, for her assured restoration to the land is reaffirmed here. So that we have, in the first 7 verses, the discourse of Christ to the world. And then, verses 8 through 21, the discussion of Jehovah with Israel regarding their restoration. And then verses 22 through 26, that's a digression concerning the judgment of Israel's oppressors. Now, I left the high point out of each, but this first one is rather important. This is the discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. And friends, there is nothing to correspond to it in the religions of this world. Here is one that's looking at a world, and he is looking at it as the servant of God who's come as the Savior of the world. Every religion is confined to an ethnic group or to several ethnic groups. They were not worldwide. None of them moved beyond the borders generally of a tribe or a people or a nation, so that most deities were local deities. But the deity in the Word of God is the living God, the creator of the universe, and the redeemer of mankind. That makes this unique indeed.